Hello and welcome to another episode of City on a Hill, a podcast about what it means to be a citizen of heaven and a citizen of the United States. Your hosts are Eric Estep and Scott Reevely, two pastors who found people in their church unable to talk to one another about politics in this last election cycle. This podcast is our attempt to do something about that. We want to encourage Christians to find their tribe in the church and their hope in the kingdom of God, rather than to seek both in the kingdom of man. So with that, let's get to it today.
Well, hello, I'm Eric Estep.
And I'm Scott Reevely.
I want to welcome you back to the conversation regarding the big story. Three episodes ago, we were talking about some of the small stories in regards to politics that can leave us in a status of existential dread because there's fear or there's emotions driving our decisions. And we have been walking through the bigger story, the narrative of Scripture that has the creation, the fall, the redemption, and tonight and today, the restoration of everything. And we've been seeing that this story actually has answers to all the brokenness. Last week, we ended with, there's a kingdom coming, and it's going to be fully restored. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. So we were talking about that tension, talking about that waiting for, and really the restoration piece of the narrative is that Christ will return and fully establish his kingdom. Last time we were talking about the already, but not yet. Things have started, but it's not fully realized. And that fully established kingdom, he's going to bring with new heavens and new earth. We have a heavens and earth. It's broken. It's not, it's still groaning. We talked about that in the fall episode. And he's going to bring new heavens and new earth. All of it will be restored. And it's going to be as it was without any of the effects of the sin. Those will all be banished. So one of the first, I have some scripture up here. Revelation 5:5 says, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David," again, we talked about all these last time, "has conquered." So that he can open the scroll, he can bring the good news, as it were. And then in Revelation 11, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." So that's what we're waiting for. We're waiting for the revealing, the revelation of the King Christ.
And this is, just as far as the arc goes, I mean, we've got the creation, fall, redemption, restoration as essentially the plot line of God's story throughout history. And you really have the plot line too of God's kingdom work here. When he created the world, he established a physical kingdom on earth. He deputized human beings as his agents, really, to have dominion. And they rebelled. So there's a kingdom rebellion, a coup, you might say. And then he began to reestablish a physical kingdom through the physical family of Abraham into the nation of Israel, put them in a physical place in a land. Then they were exiled, and that physical kingdom really was at an end. Jesus came, and the preaching was the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And this Jesus as king came into this world, but not with a place, not with a physical realm, but with a spiritual realm that then invades all of these other physical realms of other kings. And until he wins from every nation, tongue, tribe, and language people for himself, where then he will reign in this, physical realm again, in the new heavens and the new earth, the new creation. And so we have this whole story arc going really back to a new creation where it is made new. And it isn't just that the that there's new stuff when the stuff before is broken. So, you know, God goes to the store, buys new stuff. It's not that, but rather it goes back to this new creation where all of God's intent is now realized. All of this goodness that he had imagined and really in play for the world and for human beings is now realized.
Yeah, it's good. Last time you were talking about how we are out of place because our place is not here yet. And I think the restoration piece, a large portion of it is that God brings the new place, restores the place. I don't know how that process works or what that looks like, but in Isaiah, you have Isaiah describing the new heavens, new earth. He says, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy and her people to be a gladness." And he goes on from there describing a bunch of physical stuff, describing how lions will be with lambs and how the vineyards will be planted and how you're going to eat your fruit and you're going to do all these things, which frankly, I think a lot of our tradition of Christianity kind of forgets a lot of that stuff. We have physical stuff coming. We're going to be dwelling in a physical place. And a lot of the assumptions are spiritual stuff. We're going to be in heaven.
I get my wings. I get my harp. I have my cloud. I'm good, right?
Right.
I don't think that's it. And that doesn't fulfill God's intent either when he created the world and created this kingdom and created these, you know, co-rulers or deputies, you might say. That was a physical deal. And what you really have, and this is in Revelation, you have the new heavens and the new earth, the new Jerusalem coming down, and this new creation is, well, for lack of a better explanation, here. It's not like heaven is up in the sky somewhere. And it's not like it's ethereal or, you know, some kind of a breathy reality. It's a real reality. And it's in this new heavens, new earth, new Jerusalem that we can expect here. And so, you know, I think that that's some of the problem that we have when we're thinking of heaven is, you know, I mean, I've done funerals where people have been floating above the room. I mean,
not literally, right, the room, Scott? Not literally.
For beer. I mean, it's the weirdest, it was the weirdest funeral conversation ever. But that's kind of how people view it. And there's nothing really, that's not the final story. The final story is this kingdom inaugurated, you know, in the new heavens and new earth.
Yeah, and that's, it's not a biblical idea at all to talk about floating around and being heaven being an ethereal place. That's actually a Platonic idea. That's from Plato. And it was really interesting. I was reading Plato, I think it was probably last year, and reading about his description of, here's what happens when we die. We finally get to get rid of our bodies, the thing that encumbers us, the thing that's the broken part of us. And we will be just our perfect soul self, and we'll be unencumbered soul. And we're going to live in this spiritual soulish place. And I was reading that thinking, oh, that's where we get that. That's the temptation to think that that's coming from this Plato guy. That's coming from Socratic dialogue. And it's easy to flip back to that because there's so much brokenness in our bodies right now. It's part of the groaning creation. And that's one of the most encumbered things about us. But God's restoration, God's redemption is in redeeming our bodies, in redeeming physical creation itself. And even Jesus, what does he have? He has a resurrected body. He comes back with a body, and that's, he's sitting on a throne with a body, and we will sit with him as well.
And I think you can say that, you know, on account of that, your body matters.
It's good.
It's not like just your soul matters, or if you, you know, you somehow get saved and your spirit matters, your body matters too. And the same thing with creation, we have to say the creation matters. That's what God created for us to have dominion over. And he will make new heavens, new earth. I mean, there is even in that a level of continuity and discontinuity between the new heavens and new earth and the ones we got now. I don't know what it is exactly, but you know, I have to think it's material. And so you have to say that, yes, it matters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. So Jesus returns one day. We long for that day where the weeping will be gone because the brokenness is gone. Everything's restored. All of physical creation is restored. Relationship with Jesus, with God, is restored. And if it's almost, you could go back to the creation portion of our conversation and just make it reverse. So it goes back to that. And all of those things we see in scripture, we see pointing toward things are going to go back to the way they should be. And that's relationship with God. That's the physical part of our existence. And also we pointed out in the garden, they were ruling in the garden. There was dominion. There was subduing there in the garden. And that's pointed to in scripture as well. In the future, when the king comes, we have scripture saying we're going to reign with him, which that's flabbergasting. I hardly know what to do with that.
Yeah. I don't really know what that even means necessarily, but I have to, like you said, go back to creation and say that was his original intent. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, whatever is happening will probably be somehow corresponding to the original intent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because other than that, I don't make a ton of sense out of it actually. But it's important because we're talking about the whole arc of human kingdoms and human politics and the dominion as it fits into what God is doing. And it was there at the beginning, it'll be there at the end, and it's been broken in between. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a fair way to represent it.
Yeah. And I, just to give everyone some scripture to hang their hats on for this, 2 Timothy 2 says, the saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. And what does that look like? I mean, we could do a bunch of speculation about what that looks like, but I don't know, other than that way it will be good and it will be as it ought to be. Ephesians 2 has another. And just read some Ephesians. It's so good. And even when we were dead in our trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And if you're being seated with Jesus, Jesus sits on a throne. And when you talk about being, other parts of scripture talk about being heirs with Christ, Jesus is a king. And to be an heir with Christ is to be an heir of a kingdom, to be an heir of crowns. We have being crowned with Christ. I think we sometimes discount how much our inheritance, how big our inheritance is. We're gonna inherit alongside the King of the universe when he shows up in physical space and glory, all those things. We're gonna be with him because we are now related to him by adoption.
And I guess the other thing that I would add is I'm just thinking of all of these political narratives that I've been hearing over the past, you know, 12 months, really about first of all, the narratives that we talked about at the beginning of this, you know, part where we were talking about the America is going to be irreparably damaged, and America is going to be torn apart. The future is in our hand. I mean, all of these things, what makes that small is the promise of the new heavens and new earth. What makes that small is the inheritance. I mean, you think about, you know, even the political, and again, I'm not discounting anybody's, you know, trauma or problems in this world, but the offer of the gospel is so much better than the offer of any kind of political solution to people's problems that the grandeur of the whole story does sweep up the smaller story and give it a different level of meaning. And I guess that's what I would say is that, you know, I think we ought to care for the poor. I think we ought to help people when we can. But the greatest help is this ultimate relief that is coming when Christ returns.
That's good. And we're going to talk about more of this stuff, more of the maybe pragmatics in politics or interacting in the city or the state or whatever. But what we're trying to protect against is if you make any of that stuff primary over this story, everything gets broken. Things do not work well if you flip the importance. If you put those in the proper space, and the first thing you're saying is my first and ultimate citizenship is for this coming kingdom of God, okay, then I can put everything in place the way it should go in place. And I can have the posture of an exile. I can have the posture of a sojourner. I can ponder where my hope should sit, and it should sit with the inheritance of Christ coming and not in some political win or pragmatic organization of how we're going to organize a city or a state or a country. Those things can't hold the weight of our hope, even. They can't hold the weight of that.
And if you got this in, you know, I mean, that's the other thing that makes this multinational, in that my experience of, you know, 2021 by comparison to much of the world is really great, you know. And I have some complaints for sure, but what this means is, though, that my hope is the same as somebody's hope in Myanmar right now, when they're, you know, things are getting blown up there, but the hope transcends a national hope. The hope transcends a, political solution, so that we have, we have something that sustains us even in disappointment or poverty or war or famine or anything else like that. And it's just easy to lose sight of that, because what's going to happen if things go badly in American politics is, we're not going to be as wealthy as we were. And we're going to, that's going to be bad. Okay. Or there's going to be other bad things, I'm sure. But my level of comfort in this world, I can live with it. I can live with it if I'm not as wealthy. I can live with it if I struggle with, pressure about preaching the gospel or whatever. I mean, it is what it is. It is an ultimate. That's I think, what you're trying to get at with this whole overarching story.
Exactly. And so our hope for all of you listening is, I hope that this story, one, is appealing and encouraging, and gives you a hope. And if you didn't know this story before, I hope you know it now. I hope you believe this story. We want anyone listening to be able to join us in anticipating the return of King Jesus, where we will dwell in the kingdom of God as citizens, no longer in exile, but ruling with Christ over a new heaven and a new earth. So that's the big story. That's the citizenship we have that actually gives us hope. And we hope that is the same for you. So don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts, and rate us. If you find what we're doing helpful, please write a review. Give us 5 stars on those little rating apps. Those go a long way to allowing people to see us, to pop up on those searches. Share it with a friend. We'd love to be in people's ears to help them, disciple them towards understanding this King we're waiting for. And if you have questions, please send them to podcast@newlifenw.com. And we'll look forward to the next conversation.